Good morning, everyone, and welcome to church on this second Sunday of Advent. A special welcome to any visitors we have today, and also to those listening online. So my name is Roy, and also partaking in the service today, we have our musicians, Sam, Rosemary, Young Lan, and Trevor. And Trevor will be bringing us our Bible teaching and Bible reading as well. He's a man of many parts today. And Diane will be leading us in prayer later on. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way, according to his word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. And so, Trevor, on this second Sunday of Advent, what do you have for us?
Well, we're continuing through the little book of Paul to the church in Thessalonica, to the second letter, and we're thinking about Christ's return and the fear of thinking that we might miss out. That's it?
The fear of missing out. Yes, I've heard of that before. The reminder of our mission focus for this Advent time, the Toys and Tucker, and we thank you for the many contributions you've already made to this this appeal. Our sentence of scripture for today: show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Please stand now and prepare to sing with our leaders our opening song, Only a Holy God.
Good morning, everybody. We're a few voices down today. There are a lot of people who've already moved on for the Christmas period, so sing up nice and loud. We know it well. This song reminds us that a God is a holy God, and that we can depend on him because he is unchanging and he never fails.
Oh,
you're still standing, please just take a moment now to greet the people around you. Okay, please be seated now. Let us, when we are seated, let us please say together, Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you, our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace, in believing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading today, as Trevor's already hinted, is from St. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. You can find it in your Bibles at page 1190. Or you can follow along on the screen or in the news and notes in your handout. Thanks, Trevor.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. Please open your Bibles and or turn to the handout that's inside the news and notes today. Thought I could get to sit down, and but then I'm standing up and I'm out again today. There's a few of us that are away today. We're mindful of you all. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord had already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he can maybe revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders and that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, keep those Bibles opened and or the handout in front of you, and we're going to continue our little Bible teaching time today. Roy's prayed, and so we come to that. Those of us who have children or grandchildren would have had the experience or had the privilege of driving in a bus or a car, some children, or maybe a rather obnoxious friend in the back seat that sort of says, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? All right? Have we got there yet?" You know? And then there might be some that think they're really smart. "Oh, we've missed it. Dad's not taking us there anymore. You know, we're going somewhere else." All right? But are we there yet? All right. The fear of missing out and kids. Well, this morning we come to the second chapter of the Apostle Paul's second letter to the church in Thessalonica. And it's around the year 51 AD, and we believe the letter was written very shortly after the first letter to them. And the reason for Paul writing the second letter to them so shortly after the first letter was to correct a lie. Someone, or somehow, the church had heard that Paul was teaching that the day of the Lord, the return of Christ, had come. Most likely from someone in the church or visiting the church there in Thessalonica. Good intentions or mischievous, we're not told. And this had unsettled and alarmed the congregation there at Thessalonica. The great day they were all looking forward to, when Christ would return and take them home to be with him forever, had seemingly come, and they'd been left behind. They'd missed out. They thought they were right with God. No wonder it unsettled and alarmed them. And we would be too, I think, if we heard someone say that to us. But what they heard was a lie. It was a deception, misinformation, fake news. Look there at verse 3 with me. "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way," wrote Paul, verse 3. So after first encouraging them, chapter 1, reassuring them that they were right with God, they had not missed out, their future was secure with God, Paul now in chapter 2 addresses the lie and to comfort the disturbed. The first thing he tells them is not to become easily unsettled or alarmed. The emphasis here is on the word easily. Easily. Yes, there will be things they will hear in life that will unsettle them. There will be matters that will alarm them and cause them to doubt. And some of those things and some of those matters may come from well-meaning but misinformed Christians. That's normal in life. How often have we often heard or seen the billboard that says, "The Lord has come. He's coming today in such a time. Get ready," all right? And hasn't come at that time. Don't panic. Stay calm, Paul's telling the church. Sometimes, have you seen those T-shirts? I think I've seen some T-shirts, a red T-shirt with a crown on it, and it says, "Stay calm, don't panic, stay calm." I think I've seen them around. I should have got one up on the screen there. He's saying the first thing is to focus in on the word easily. Don't become easily unsettled and alarmed. This is normal in life. Don't panic, stay calm. The second thing is that don't let anyone deceive you in any way. And by saying this, Paul admits they were vulnerable. They were vulnerable to be deceived, and we're vulnerable to be deceived. But that could be counteracted. How? By drawing back on what they know of God from his word, what they have been taught. Look there at verse 5. The facts. "Don't you remember," Paul says to them, "that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things?" In fact, Paul, in his very first letter to the church in Thessalonica, and goes to great lengths in chapters 4 and 5, and you can have a read of this at a later date, of what will happen, what's going to happen at the time of Christ's return. What about those who have died before Christ has returned? What about those who are here when Christ returns. What will happen? Paul had gone into great lengths in his first letter and told them what will happen. You can read that, chapter 4, verses 13 through to chapter 5 of 11 of his first letter. Just make a note of that to read later. The facts are, Paul wrote, verse 3, that the day will not come, the day of the Lord, the return of Christ, will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. Now the danger for us right at this point, and instinctively, is we go to look for timings and we go to look for procedures and plans and when's it going to happen, who's it, all of this here. And you may be surprised here that the emphasis there in the Greek, Paul focuses here, is not on the rebellion. It's not on us to focus on who the man of lawlessness is or when he will be revealed or who it is, where our minds automatically and our thoughts instinctively drift to. Who's this person, Trevor? What's this happening? You know, this, Paul's emphasis here is to focus in on the little word until. Until. It doesn't seem a significant word, but by using the word until, Paul is telling them that there is an overall plan that needs to take its course before Christ returns. And something has to happen first that has to be given permission to be done before it will be done. It's not happened yet, but already it's begun to bubble up in mankind, verse 7. We get this picture here that there's someone in control, someone behind the scenes, all right, working things out. Don't panic. Don't be deceived. Stick to the facts. Know what you've been taught and who it's from. Stay calm. And so what will that be? What will happen beforehand? Well, Paul tells the church that there will be a rebellion, and that rebellion will be against God by most of mankind. Secondly, that there will be a person or a personification of mankind who will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped. He will set himself up as God, proclaiming himself to be God even in and amongst God's people. He's called the man of lawlessness. And the word for lawlessness in the Old Testament, of which Paul will be drawing on here, is of a term for the embodiment of sin, the embodiment of just selfishness and self-centeredness. There will be a deception, miracles, signs, wonders that people will believe and follow. There will be every sort of evil being done. Then Christ will return, verse 8. And the man of lawlessness, doomed for destruction, will be revealed and cast aside and destroyed. Judgment and condemnation of the world will occur, verse 12, and deliverance for God's faithful people, verses 13 and 14, will be experienced. We would like to think that the world will get better, and worldly speaking, it may. In the years to come, the world may be a far better place than it is today. Certainly, advances in medical science and technology have made living in the 21st century far better than the 20th and the 19th, let alone for the Thessalonians in the very first century. But from what we read in the Bible and other parts of the Bible about the future, with regards to mankind's attitude to God, before Christ comes, the world will get worse. I wish I could say the opposite in terms of worldly speaking, but the world will get worse. Remember, mankind is fundamentally selfish and indifferent to God, verse 7. The secret power of lawlessness, sin, rebellion against God is already very much at work in mankind. Already it has its grips very much on people, drawing them away from loving the truth of God and believing the gospel, verse 10. And as time goes on, individuals, in fact, mankind in general and inclusively, will do all sorts of amazing things. They already are. Wonderful things. Things that will appear to be like miracles, signs and wonders, verse 9. Certainly to the Thessalonians in the first century, what we do today would be miraculous and amazing, and for whom praise and worship of God is worthy of being given, because God has given us the gifts and the abilities to do them, but because of the power of lawlessness, sin is at work in them. In accordance with the work of Satan, behind the scenes, verse 9, mankind will claim that what is worthy of God to receive, they will claim for their own. Verse 4, proclaiming themselves to be God. Paul may well have had an individual in mind, but I take it Paul is describing more so what mankind will become in attitude towards God before Christ returns. One man in purpose, thought, and deed, who will, verse 3, oppose and exalt themselves over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't get me wrong, the world Paul is describing leading up to and just before Christ's return will appear and seem a wonderful world from a worldly perspective, not godly, where every need appears to be met for and by what I think will be very nice, sincere people. People who appear to have everybody's best interests at heart. A world that kindly says to each other, we have now no need of God, for we are God. Look at what we've done and look at what we can do. Can God do any better? Come, we would do better without God, all on the one plane. Can you hear it? Its influence will reach even into God's temple, verse 4, amongst the thinking of the people of God, the church. It's easy to become depressed, disturbed, and lose hope when we think on this. But the little word until also tells us that what will happen before Christ returns is being controlled, safely restrained for us. Won't happen until the proper time. There is a plan. It's unfolding until it's allowed. But by who? God, of course. It doesn't seem a significant word at first, but by using the word until and getting us to focus on that, Paul is telling us these things have to happen first before Christ returns. And the timeline, when, where, and how, God will determine. We don't know when. We're just to trust him and to be his people in God's place, under God's rule, doing what God wants. And there is another little word there in verse 13 that doesn't seem very significant at first, and it's a favourite one of mine, and it's there to reassure, comfort, and encourage the Thessalonian Christians and us too. Can you guess what it is? But, all right? One of the best words in the Bible. But. Look there at verse 13. But. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters. Why? Loved by God, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth, through God's work and the word of God coming to us in the gospel. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of all this darkness and discouragement and sadness about the world, God has his eye on you. God has his hands on you. You are safe in God as his children in his family. God has promised to save his people, to bring us home, to be with the Lord at the proper time when he determines, by the means he decrees for his purposes and glory. And there's a wonderful picture of where we will be one day at the end of Revelation, in a place that's prepared for us. where Christ is, where there's no more tears, no more sadness, no more imperfection, no disappointment. Everything that's perfectly good is there with God, and we will be there because of Jesus. We have not missed out, Paul's writing to us. Paul's writing to the church of Thessalonica. You have not missed out. We will not miss out in the future. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. Why? Verses 13 to 17. Because we with them are loved by God. God has chosen us to be saved, to share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. So then, verse 15. Till then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen. Amen. Roy's going to lead us in a psalm that's a prayer, and then we'll sing a song that ties in with this. Thanks, Roy.
Please join me now in saying these verses from Psalm 25. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
as he was in the beginning,
is now, and forevermore. Amen. Please stand now, in preparation to sing our second song for the day, Never Alone.
He's with us.
please remain standing now as we say, affirm what we believe. Do you believe in God the Father?
We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in God the Son?
We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Heavenly Father, God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray that nothing may hinder us from receiving Christ with joy. God of power and mercy, open your hearts in welcome. Remove the things that hinder us from receiving Christ with joy, so that we may share his wisdom and become one with him when he comes in glory. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. God of love, make your way known to the people of our world, your saving power among all nations. Guide and govern your church by your Holy Spirit, so that all who call themselves Christians may be led in the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace and in righteousness of life. We commend to your fatherly goodness all who are afflicted or distressed in body, mind or circumstances, especially in the Middle East and Ukraine, and those in any other dramatic living situations. Relieve them according to their needs, giving them patience in their sufferings and deliverance from their afflictions. This we ask for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Spirit of justice and truth, grant to governments and leaders in this world the wisdom to know and understand the responsibility that comes with power as they make decisions for their nations. Help them to consider the needs of their people, to provide protection, a stable food supply, and all necessary medical support. Guide them to seek a peaceful resolution in times of conflict with neighbouring countries and across their own communities. May their hearts become and remain open to your Holy Spirit to lead them in their responsibilities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God of the nations, we pray for Australia. Inspire and direct our leaders to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Bring many Australians to a knowledge of the truth about Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us all. At this time, help us all remember why we celebrate Christmas and guide us to practice patience and love for each other. Coming to the end of the year, protect those people whose lives contain so much pressure and stress, either at work or at home, that their emotions can become overwhelming. Intervene, dear Lord, with a friendly word, a kindness, a smile, or an act of generosity that will restore them to a state of calm with a moment to take a breath. For those who are struggling financially, provide for them, Father, with what they need and help them find the hope that only comes from you. We ask, dear God, for protection for those residents of Queensland facing the cyclone currently approaching their coastline. We pray for minimal damage and safety for all residents in its path, or a reduction in its expected severity. O God, our rest and our Redeemer, in the course of this busy life, give us times of refreshment and peace to rebuild our bodies and renew our minds so that we may live in harmony with you and your creation. Let this Christmas period offer such time of reflection and opportunity to reset our life focus, to focus on the value of eternal things and give temporal things a proper perspective. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We bring to you those among us who are elderly and facing health challenges or other distress. We ask that your Spirit will comfort and sustain them in their need. Give them a firm trust in you and your goodness. I pray that you will open their hearts to seeking support when it's needed and accepting the help that they might be offered from time to time. Bless them and fill with love those who serve them, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord God Almighty, Heavenly Father, King of glory and love eternal, worthy are you at all times to receive adoration, praise and thanksgiving. But especially at this time, with Christmas drawing near and soon to be upon us, do we praise you for the sending of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, for whom our hearts do wait, and to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, be honour and glory now and forever. Move in the minds and hearts of our local community that they may turn to you this Christmas and join with us in our celebration.
We have a few announcements. First of all, thank you for your giving towards the Toys and Tucker campaign at this time of year. Trevor would like to say a few words about...
Coming up for Christmas, we've got a number of things have already started underway at the moment. We've had our Christmas service and carols at Chiswick Manor last Sunday, and at Bayswater Gardens with the residents there on Thursday of this week. We've had the school's presentation, Christmas presentation through QuizWorks to both Abbotsford and Russell Lee Public School, a combined church's activity into the school. We've also coming up this week got our playgroup Christmas presentation on Wednesday, and then on Sunday afternoon the preschool parents and kids and the playgroup parents and kids and the committee of the preschool We're going to come together and have a big carols in the playground here. So as an outreach to those families that on the Sunday. So that's coming up. And then, busy time. And then so Christmas Eve on the 24th, or Christmas Day first. We'll go back to Christmas Eve here. On the 24th, we've got carols and the Christmas story at our Sunday morning service. And after that, if you'd like to join Rosemary and I for lunch, either in the foyer here or a Christmas luncheon. Those of you who were at it last year, it was a yummy feast. And you're welcome to come. Just sign up at the back, on the table up the back there. And that's on Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas Day itself, we have a traditional service of Holy Communion in the morning at 9 o'clock, not 9:30. So if you're coming to that, it'll be 9:30 on that morning. Also on the back table is another sheet of paper. We're going to celebrate that each of us, God has brought into the world each month, all right, with Birthday Sunday. And so I don't want to know the date of your birth, all right, but I want to know what month you were born so that we can acknowledge God and thank God for you in our time of gathering together. So put what month you have a birthday, if you've not done so already, onto that sheet of paper that's on the mission table at the back that's there. I think there's only one more announcement, I think. I'm trying to remember what it is. I've just forgotten. It slipped out. It might come to me, Roy. Over to you. All right.
And thank you for regularly supporting Abbotsford Anglican Church, both online or via the offertory box at the back of the church. If you'd like prayer after the service, please come down to the front here, and Coral and Brian would be very happy to pray with you. Personal prayer.
Just remembered what it is. Is that all right? Thank you for volunteering to share in ministry in different ways. We're a small church, but we all play a little part in using the gifts that we've given to us. And if you've not done that and would like to sort of say, well, how can I help out in the life of the church here? The little red box on the table, on the bookshelf at the back there with some papers there. Just fill one of those in and have a read of it, fill it in, pray about it and put it back in the box. There's some suggestions there for next year. Thanks, Roy.
And after church, you're very welcome to stay for morning tea. And in the usual way, we invite you to keep your distances and remain COVID safe. I think the rain has stopped outside. You could be able to wander outside into the green lawn. One more. Good. Aren't we all? And as we prepare now to leave, please let's stand for our third final song of the day. My Heart Delights.
This is our new song from last week, our Advent song, which we'll be singing over the next few weeks as we lead into Christmas. So please join me and just reflect on those words that our hearts should delight in the God who loves us and gave himself for us.
Of mine.
reminder of our sentence of scripture for today. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.